I want to speak out of this chapter and verse here, verse number 8. I don't have a message that has 4 or 5 points this morning. I don't have a message that has 1 point. I have one question, one thought that I want to deal with. It has to do with the missions emphasis that we've been on for the last couple of weeks. And we'll finish up with that this morning. Verse number 8 says, "If ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well." I want to speak to you on the subject, fulfilling the royal law. Fulfilling the royal law. And dear Father, I pray that you'll bless these thoughts now as we add them to what has already been said these last, 13 or 14 days. As we draw this emphasis to a close and our hearts are hopefully open to what you have for us. And Lord, maybe some people still pondering what they should do, if they should do anything for the cause of world missions. I pray that you'll use this thought today to encourage, challenge, and convict. Speak to us, I pray. Dear Jesus, may this not just be a service. May the Holy Spirit have availability of all of our being right now. And may our minds be tuned in and our hearts be tender, and I will be yielded to Him. And I'll thank you for that. Help me as I preach your word in Jesus' name. Amen. In the last 8 days, we've learned about the 4 kinds of Bible giving in Sunday school from Brother Sharp last week: tithes, missions, building, and alms. We've been asked the question in the morning service last week, what is the grace of God worth to you? That's a great message on God's grace. What is the grace of God worth to you? We have learned practical ways to save money, with the challenge being for every $2 saved, we give $1 to the Lord's work. And I was blessed by the response of people that came to Brother Sharp and said, how about this, this, or this, and this type of thing. It seemed like it really caught on toward the end of the meeting, and on Wednesday night especially. We've learned about a treasure. Brother Greg learned about anxiety, amen, on Wednesday night. And if you weren't here, I'm sorry. But and did you know what happened in the nursery? They were listening to that service, you know. And when he told Tyler, throw it out in the street, they said, well, he's got somebody out there that's going to pick it up. And so they sent somebody out of the nursery to see if there was somebody out there. And the lady came back to the nursery and said, there's nobody out there, amen. And so it tickled me. Can you quote the 23rd Psalm? No, I can't. And where is your mind right now? Out on the street, amen. And I think all of us, our minds were out there, huh? And that was interesting. But we've been challenged by the burdens of 5 different missionaries. 4 of them were on deputation, raising their support. One of them was here in the States, of presenting the need to further the work over in the Philippines, Brother Bitun. I wish everybody could have been. These 3 morning sessions were the best attended morning sessions we've had at Missions Conference. I mean, people were here. And Brother Harrison brought a message on Monday morning. I mean, unbelievable. And I hope he can preach it here on a Sunday night sometime. Brother DeLong on Tuesday morning, tremendous message. Brother Bitun, they were the best we've ever had. And just tremendous messages and tremendous services. Missions Conference is always a blessing to me. It always, now at times it convicts me. At times it challenges me. It always leads me to say, Lord, send me anywhere. I want to be in your will. I think anywhere for me is right here. I don't plan on having any secret plans or agenda, but I don't know how you can sit through 3 or 4 days of a missions conference and not just give your heart to God and say, do you want me? And present yourself to God. It convicts me. It challenges me. Sometimes it teaches me. At times it motivates me. I always enjoy it. And now it's time for me and time for you, all of us who are members of Faith Baptist Church, to make a commitment. I understand we got folks that have been with us for a week. This is your 2nd Sunday or 3rd Sunday. And others of you have been here maybe 3 or 4 weeks or a couple months. And all maybe this faith promise giving is new to you and all this missions emphasis. And I understand that. And I wish we had time in a church ministry in a calendar year to catch everybody up to speed. But yet there's so much to do for the Lord and so many needs and different ways to and different things to emphasize. It's time for me to make my commitment. It's time for you to make your commitment. And those of you that have been members here for years and been faithful giving, I hope that you'll continue to do so. If you started last year and you got sidetracked, I hope that you'll pick it up again this year with a new determination. Maybe you can increase. Maybe you have to cut back due to your circumstances. We never sent anybody a bill. Never sent anybody a piece of paper that says, this is what we feel like you ought to get. Never have done that. It's between you and your Heavenly Father. Amen. Between you and God. But it's time to do something for the cause of getting the gospel to the world. Let me remind us this morning, folks, not all the world lives as we live in this great country. Can I remind you of that? I already had this message in my mind and heart. And I got home from the ball game Thursday night, I think it was. And I picked up the Tribune, didn't have time to read it. But I looked at the front page, looked at the back page. The front page had an article over in Cambodia. They're about to put the man who was second in charge during the time when they murdered all the Pol Pot regime. Remember that? They murdered 25% of their population over there. They're about to put the man who was second in charge in a court trial. And he says he's looking forward to telling the world about what really took place during during those days and so forth and so on. But they had a picture on the back page, so revealing to me. I guess just woke me up again, reminded me of what we enjoy in this country. It was a picture of the brand new courthouse that has been built on the outskirts of Phnom Penh, which is the capital of Cambodia. Brand new building. Brand new, beautiful building on the outskirts of the capital city. And there were two men there with pickaxes. They were outside the complex, and they were working in the dirt, and the caption said, "Laborers lay communication cable for new courthouse on outskirts of Phnom Penh." And I looked at that, and I thought to myself, man, we forget where we live. We have machines that will dig the trench, bury the cable, and cover it back up in the distance they were working in probably an hour. I mean, dig the cable in one machine, crank it up, and it does it all. And those men in the year 2006 were working with pickaxes, breaking up the ground, digging a trench to lay cable, communications cable, for a brand new courthouse building on the outskirts of the capital city of Cambodia. Friend, how far behind is that? How far behind is that? And yet the reality of that hit me. I was just thinking about this message. More than likely, the people of Cambodia are further behind in their access to the true gospel of Jesus Christ than they are to the access of modern machinery. Are you with me this morning? Are you with me this morning, huh? This is not a one-man show. We're all in this together, I hope. These service times, I'm preaching at you. This is our service. Amen? So, I hope you get what I'm saying this morning. I mean, it floored me. In the year 2006, in the capital city, they're digging a trench with a pickaxe. And in that same country, I'll promise you, as far behind as they are when it comes to industrial matters, they are further behind in their access to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And friend, that could be said about country after country after country around this world. Let me remind you, folks, in this country, we live like royalty. And I'm not talking about only material matters. I'm talking about spiritual matters as well. Spiritual matters. We live like royalty. Royalty. We have so much spiritually to be thankful for. The foundation of this nation is built on the Bible. I mean, the foundation of our nation built on it. And if you ever, by the way, if you got your kids in the public school, they're telling them different. I hope you understand what you're doing when you put them in the public school. It's not just the drugs, and it's not just the immorality. It is the teaching of revisionist history and distorting truth that's going to really damage the kids. Really damage them. Regardless of what the modern textbooks are saying and what revisionist historians are saying, this nation was founded on that book right there. The very book you hold in your lap this morning. The very book you hold. This country was founded on the principles of that book. They brought it over from the old country. And here they came. And all you've got to do is go back and read the documents that were in effect in the days of the founding of this country. They are inundated with Bible. Inundated with Scripture. Inundated with teaching from that book, right? Our nation was founded on that. We have buildings, comfortable, accessible buildings. That we have churches that meet, but we meet for church. We have roads to get to those buildings. We can drive on them. Okay, I'll give you your occasional or more than occasional a pothole in the roads up here, folks, due to all the extreme heat and cold. But spend some time in a third world country. Spend some time overseas. You'll fall on the roadways in this country and kiss them. You will. It's ridiculous. It's unbelievable. It took Ben 6 hours in Madagascar to drive about 120 miles, wasn't it? 6 hours. Think about that. Because of the roads. We have copies upon copies upon copies upon copies upon copies upon copies upon copies of this book right here. I mean, they're everywhere. I'd hate to count the number of Bibles I have in my own possession. It'd probably make me feel bad. If I knew how many Bibles I had compared to the accessibility that the third world countries have and other places to the true Word of God. We have radio programs. I enjoy listening to the Rejoice radio network every now and again. And when I'm in the car, if I'm going somewhere, I enjoy listening to the radio programs. I'm not much on TV preachers because most of them are off doctrinally and everything. But at least the gospel sometimes comes across the airways of our television sets. We have the printed page. I mean, how much of the printed page? We have bookstores and all these internet places now. And you can get the printed page just over and over again. We have computer programs and we have internet access. We have giant billboards that say, Jesus saves, repent, turn or burn. I mean, they go around the country. We have, we got so much in this. Look here. I'd venture to say, I may be a little high, but I don't think so. I'd venture to say that 90% of the families sitting in this congregation this morning had some Christian heritage handed down to you. 90%. What do you mean by that? I mean your parents didn't worship their ancestors. Now, I don't know if you here were here New Year's night when Ben showed his presentation in Madagascar. But the practice over there of animism, where they worship their dead ancestors to the point of going once a year, they got a special name for it. They rode right up on one of these and they got the video of it. If you were here, you saw it, where they actually go to the tombs and bring the bones of their ancestors out of the tombs and walk around with them. I wasn't handed that. You weren't handed that. I would say 90 to 95% of the people in this room were handed some type of Christian heritage. Some body of truth was passed down from great-great-grandpa to great-grandpa to grandpa to dad to you, to me. Most of us in this country received some influence of Christian heritage from our forefathers. That great body of truth that makes up the faith has been handed to most of us. You can't say that about every country in the world. Are you with me this morning? I'm talking about the abundance. Spiritually, we live like royalty. We live like royalty. Now it's time for us to start loving like royalty. Loving like royalty. Not just living like royalty, but loving like royalty. Jesus said in chapter 2, in verse number 8, or James said, I'm sorry, James said in chapter, and Jesus said it too in other passages, but James said here in chapter 2, verse number 8, if ye fulfill the royal law, there is a royal law according to the Scripture. This is not Terry Angel's definition. This is not Caleb Hansen's definition. This is not some Bible college definition. This is not some denominational definition. There is a royal law according to the Scripture. Do you see that? According to the Bible, what is that royal law? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thy. This is a kingly, regal, noble, preeminent law befitting a sovereign or a king. This royal law, if obeyed, will produce royal love. If you learn to love royally, the Bible says, ye do well. What is that royal law? Make no doubt about it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's mentioned 9 times in your Bible. Can you think of any phrase that long that is mentioned 9 times in the Bible? 8 times in the New Testament. 1 time in the Old Testament. God repeated that royal law 9 times. This is the kingly law. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You see, this is the royal law. Brother Caleb, if you'll stand up with me. This is the royal law as far as horizontal relationships are concerned. There's a royal law that applies to my vertical relationship to God. You know what that is, don't you? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength. That's my vertical royal law. But my horizontal royal law that I am bound to obey, I must love my neighbor as myself. The Bible says if I do that, I do well. Royal love. Thank you, Brother Caleb. Love fit for kings. Love fit for those who live in royalty. Love befitting those who are noble is loving your neighbor as yourself. Let me ask you a question this morning. This finishes the mission's emphasis for these few days. If you lived in a country where the gospel had little or no significant influence, what would you want the people in America to do? What would you want the Christians in America to do if you lived in the country where it was handed down to you that the way to be religious and spiritual is to take your dead ancestors' bones out of the tomb and run around with them? What would you want somebody in America to give so that the gospel could come to you? Would you want somebody in America to go? What if you lived in a country where my family heritage included no gospel influence? What if we lived in a country where we were taught to worship pagan false gods like the ones that the men on Mount Carmel prayed to for hours? Oh, Baal, hear us! Oh, Baal, hear us! And after hours of pleading, the Bible says, there was no voice, there was no answer, and there was none who regarded. What if you were steeped in paganism this morning? Would you want those who live in royalty spiritually to give a few dollars? To send somebody with the true message of salvation? What would you want someone in America to do for you? Would you want someone who would be as obedient as the Apostle Paul was when that man in the night vision stood up and said, Paul, come over into Macedonia and help us? And the Bible says that immediately Paul set sail for Macedonia. Friend, don't you know that the people in those churches in Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea in that area of Macedonia, don't you know they were glad that the Apostle Paul was obedient to the heavenly vision? Don't you know that? Sure they were. You're living in royalty. I don't mean materially, although most Americans are. I mean spiritually this morning. We live in royalty. Now we need to love like royalty. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do for them what you would want somebody to do for you. You remember the story over in Luke chapter 29 when the lawyer who's trying to justify himself came to Jesus Christ and said, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, do this and do this and do this and according to the commandments. And the lawyer, oh, I've kept those from the time I was a kid all the way up, all through my life. And Jesus said, well, here you got to do this. Love your neighbors, you love yourself. And the man said, and you can almost read the sarcasm in the verse, who is my neighbor? Remember that? Remember what Jesus went into? The parable of the what? Good Samaritan. Remember that? Jesus told the story. He said there was a man who walked from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And on the road to Jericho, a band of thieves accosted him, assaulted him, stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, wounded him, and left him laying, bleeding, and broken by the roadside, half dead. Said a certain priest came that way and saw him laying over there. And the Bible says, Jesus said he passed by on the other side. Didn't help him. Said after a while, a certain Levite came that way, and that Levite had at least a sympathy. At least he went over, the Bible says, and looked at him, but did nothing to help him, and decided he would pass by on the other side. Then Jesus said a Samaritan came that way. And he was talking to a bunch of Jews who hated the Samaritans. The Samaritan came that way. And the Bible says that he saw him. Watch it now. He went to him and had compassion on him. You know, walking over there and looking and saying, boy, that's bad. That's sad. I hope somebody comes that can help you. That's not compassion. Love is action. Compassion was that Samaritan man picking up that poor fella, dressing his wounds, pouring the oil, pouring the wine in his broken cuts and his broken body, and dressing him and putting him upon his beast and taking him to the nearest inn and saying, can you give this fellow a place to sleep and recover from this beating? And I'm going to come back through here. Here's some money to take care of his needs. And if you need more money than that, when I come back by, I'll repay you. Just get him well. That is compassion. And Jesus looked at the lawyer and he said to the lawyer, who was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And the lawyer had to bow his head and say, the one that showed mercy. And Jesus said, you're right. Go and do thou likewise. You know, I'm asking Faith Baptist Church this morning, I'm asking those of us who live in spiritual royalty to start loving like royalty. How do you love like royalty? You love your neighbor as yourself. That's royal love. That's kingly love. That's noble love. You do for them what you would want somebody to do for you. You know, it's very difficult for me to pass a woman who has a flat tire on the side of the road without stopping and helping her. Why? Because my wife drives. You know, that's why my wife and I have never hesitated to open our house and our doors to missionary families and feed them and give them a place to sleep if necessary and try to go above and beyond to take care of their needs. Why? Because a long time ago we said, what if God calls one of our kids to be a missionary? And listen to me this morning. Ben Angel's not a missionary because his daddy pushed him into it. I had nothing to do with that, friend. That's God's call on his life. If he's obeying daddy, he's in for a long, hard life. That was God's call on his life. Back years ago, before that boy was ever in high school, we said, we're going to take care of missionaries because we have no idea of how many, if any, God will call any of our children to the mission field or how many. And we want to do for them what we want churches to do for our son, our daughter, if he ever gets called to the mission field. You know, churches have been very good to my son. So far, very good. I'm blessed by it. I'm not blessed by some of the questionnaires I get. He gets. Oh, brother. I don't understand some of this stuff. It's just nuts. Absolutely nuts. I mean, they're nuts. I say, son, I wish I could be a missionary on deputation for 1 month and get all those questionnaires. I'd love to answer them as sarcastically as I could. What does your wife wear to bed? Can you imagine asking somebody that? I'd love to answer that. I had about 6 answers I just burn up on that page right there. I'd love to answer that. One being, none of your business. Hey, but Dad, I want to answer these questions. You know, they might support me. I said, son, throw that thing in the trash. Oh, nuts. Where was I when I got off on that? Amen. Churches, for the most part, have been good to him. This is loving like royalty, folks. It's loving, it's doing for someone what you would want them to do for you. Listen to me very carefully. Your neighbor is the one within your ability to help. You don't have to know their name. You don't have to be their friend. The Samaritan went over to that man. He didn't get his name, rank, and serial number. Oh, I know you. Okay, well, man alive. Yeah, our dads went to synagogue school together. Wow, man, what do you know? He didn't know his name. He didn't know anything about him. But he was that man's neighbor because he, that man, was within this person's ability to provide some help. Jesus defined that as neighbor. If they need help and you can get help to them, they are your neighbors. Are you listening this morning? You know what that means? That means the people of Ghana, West Africa, are our neighbors. Because they need help. And we can get help to them. How can we get help to Ghana, West Africa? His name is Andrew Aaron. He was here for our missions conference. And that means the people in Mendoza, Argentina, are our neighbors. Because we have the ability to help the people in Mendoza, Argentina. How do we have the ability to help them? We have Matt and Heather Gansimer, who were here at our missions conference, going to that country. The people in Cairns, Australia, are our neighbors because we have the ability to get them some help in the person of Dan DeLong. The people of Israel, we had Brother Boyd here last year. He and his wife are going to Israel. I told Sunday school class this morning, Israel is closed to Christian missionaries. But they will open their doors to people who come in with some type of humanitarian thing. And Adam Boyd and his wife and their little kids are going to Israel. We don't have a voice in Israel, the homeland of our Savior. They need help. We can get help to them in the person of Adam Boyd. We had a missionary in Spain, but Brother Black came back to the States and took a church up here in Hanover Park. We don't have a voice in Spain anymore, but we have Jamin Witte. He came through this church last year, presented his burden for Spain. He is now in Spain, starting to win souls and form a small congregation into a church. We can get help to the people in Spain because of Jamin Witte. How about the deaf people around the world? They can't hear with their ears, but they can be taught with fingers and sign language. We can help them because we have Caleb's brother, Abram Hansen, and his wife. We can send help to these people. They are our neighbors because we can get help to them. And they need it. Are you with me this morning, church? What would you want the people of a Faith Baptist church to do if you were living in Ghana? You know what I'm glad this morning? You know where Brother Tom is this morning? He's in London. Of course, it's not morning there anymore. You know where he went this morning? As if he's able to keep his plans. He went to Brother Salt's church. Maybe some of you don't know this. Esther, stand up, would you? This young lady is saved. She doesn't always act like it. I understand it. Amen. You didn't see what he just did, did you? She is saved because missionary Dave Salt went to London with the gospel. She got saved. And life went downhill from there. She met Brother Larry. Amen. And now she sits in the pews of this church married to one of our fine young men. She was our neighbor. We didn't know her name. We didn't know what her face looked like. We didn't know what she was like. But she was our neighbor. Because she needed help. And Dave Salt came to Faith Baptist Church and said, if you guys will support me, I'll get over there and start giving the gospel out. And we had an opportunity to help her by giving to Dave Salt so he could go to England. You see the cut. She was our neighbor, friend. Now you got a life, you got a picture right here. Serves with you in this church. She was your neighbor. Got the gospel to her. She got saved. If you were a deaf person living in, where's your brother going, South Africa? If you were a deaf person living in South Africa and you'd been taught to worship the bones of your ancestors, what would you want somebody in Faith Baptist Church to do? If they had the opportunity to send somebody who could tell you the real story. That's living. That's loving royally. I submit to you, people like Esther and others are not as interested in Americans living royally as they are in Americans loving royally. Are you loving like a king this morning? Do you possess a noble love, a sovereign love, a royal love? Royal love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do for him what you would want him to do for you. If the gospel of Jesus Christ is to reach them on distant shores, it'll be the result of loving royally. Not royal living, but royal loving. Are you with me this morning? The truth of the matter is, and I'm getting done this morning, if the gospel of Jesus Christ has reached the shores of your heart, it's because of royal love. You see, folks, look at me. All of us were the man laying beaten and broken and wounded on the side of the road. But we weren't accosted by thieves. We were accosted by sin. And sin left us laying there half dead with physical life but no spiritual life. Cut off from God. Cut off from God. Cut off from going to where God is. Bound for where God is not, in hell. Laying there. Religion came by, but religion could not help us. The Ten Commandments came by, but the Ten Commandments could not help us. We were hopeless and helpless, spiritually dead. Then God, the royal king, God, the sovereign king, God, the noble king, loved royally. Amen. Loved us as he would want someone to love him, and he sent Jesus Christ, and Christ came and had compassion on us, paid for our sins in his own body on the tree, rose from the dead to prove that he was the Son of God with power, and provided salvation for whosoever will. And one day, some years ago, maybe some weeks ago, one day, you and I heard the gospel message. We confess that we're unable and sinners by nature and unable to get to heaven on our own. And we believed that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. And we received him, and the gospel came to the shores of our hearts. Amen. And now you and I have eternal life dwelling in us. Salvation came to us. It was the result of royal love. Hey, Christian, you can't deny the fact. You may not be living in royalty when it comes to material possessions, but you hear me. You're living in royalty spiritually. In this country, all of us are. God doesn't want us just to live in royalty. He wants us to love like royalty. What would you want somebody to do if you needed the gospel? If you weren't here on Wednesday night, Jason and Heather Lowe came forward surrendering their lives to take the gospel to the Bahamas. Before you laugh, he was born in the Bahamas. His granddad got saved because a BIMI missionary went to the Bahamas with the gospel of Christ. Paul Lowe, Jason's daddy, was the first convert baptized in the building that that missionary built. Now Jason's going to go back to those people, his people, got dual citizenship. But he's going back with the gospel message. What would you want somebody to do? You see, I was there in the service where Jason surrendered to serve the Lord full time in the ministry. I've watched the boy struggle and not be completely happy, not be at peace, because he knew God had something for him. I don't know if there was a resistance to the mission field or what, but God began to break that down some months ago. And I was so thrilled when they came. So thrilled for him. So thrilled for his family. So thrilled for our church. You love to see the lows go. I've been knowing Heather since she was 7th grade. No, I hate to see him go. I love to see him go. Isn't that weird? But those people need help. We have the ability now to help them. They have become our neighbors. Are you with me, church? My neighbor is the one that I have the ability to help. And I can help those people in the Bahamas now because he's going there. That's what this thing is all about, see? That's what this little piece of paper is all about. You know what this piece of paper is all about? I don't know where it is now. This piece of paper is about loving royally. Because if I'd been trained to worship dead bones, I think I'd want somebody from America to come to me and say, hey, there's hope for you, but it's not in dead bones. It's in a living Savior. Amen. And his name is Christ. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. Let me ask a question or two before we give the invitation today. Who's here, Brother Angel? I'm saved and I know it. I'm on my way to heaven. If I died right now, there's no doubt in my mind I would be in heaven. Now, please don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to me. Don't lie to God. Nobody's looking. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. But if you're saved and you know it, would you raise your hand, please, as a testimony of that on this cold morning? Would you do that? God bless you. Thank you. Take your hands down. Now, I hope you didn't raise your hand because somebody else did. Hope you didn't look down the aisle or across the way, because if you did, you're not being honest with yourself. Who's here this morning? Said, Pastor Angel, there's trouble in my heart. I don't know that I'm bound for heaven. I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. There's trouble in my heart this morning. Please pray for me about it. I'm not sure where I'm going when I die. Would you let me pray for you by raising your hand, please? I'm not going to ask you to say anything out loud publicly, but you raise your hand this morning. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Let me pray for you. Anybody from side to side, front to back, on this cold February morning? All right, thank you. Is anybody here this morning would say, Brother Angel, I'm saved, but I've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism yet. I've not done that. I've not been in deep water since I've been saved, baptized by immersion. Pray for me. I need to know more about it. I need to be obedient to the Lord. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that this morning? Not sure. You haven't been, you're sure that you're saved, but not been baptized. All right, now. God's people here this morning, if you've been saved and baptized, you know this is the place God wants you to join and become a member. We would invite you to come join. If you've talked to me or Brother Caleb or somebody about it, we invite you to come. Here we go. Are you living in royalty? Well, let me answer that one for you. Yes, you are. You're living in royalty in this country, spiritually speaking. Living in royalty. Pastor, I want to love royally. While you're preaching this morning, the Spirit of God slipped in my pew and touched my heart. I don't want to just live royally. I want to love royally. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please, all over the room this morning? Would you do that? God bless you. Thank you. Take your hands down. Just a minute, we'll give the invitation time of coming to kneel and pray at this altar here. If the Spirit of God touched your heart, I would invite you to come and kneel and pray here. If you're still praying, need some confirmation about what you want to do for missions this year, take the time to kneel and pray. Purpose in your heart and let God work on you. Let me tell you something. There's no amount too small. If you're a young couple and you're behind financially, maybe it's not wisest for you at this moment to start giving to missions. Maybe it's nip and tuck. Maybe you could give $3 a week, $5 a week. $12.50 a week puts a missionary family on the field for $50 a month. Maybe you could give $6.25. Maybe you could give $5. Now, if you're way behind and creditors are calling on you, you need more help with your finances than you need to commit to missions giving. Those of you that are squared away financially and you're on solid ground, and God's blessing you, man, have you prayed about it? What would you want somebody to do for you if you were worshiping your ancestors' bones? Think about it. Dear Father, bless the invitation this morning and bless our faith promise commitment, I pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's use the altar this morning. The ladies are playing the invitation hymn. Would you come now? You raised your hand this morning. Pastor, I don't want to just live in royalty. I want to love royalty. Would you come? Step out. Several hands went up. I encourage you to come kneel this morning. Is it give? Is it go? What is it? What is it? What is God doing in your heart this morning? We're living in spiritual royalty. Let's love royalty. Royal law. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Think about it this morning. What if your family loaded you up, walked to a cemetery, and opened the door to an old tomb, and pulled out the bones of great granddaddy and ran around with them for a while? Would you want somebody to come to you with the gospel? You don't have to go to that tomb. Go ahead and dig those old bones up. In fact, Jesus came, died, was put in a tomb, but now it's empty because he rose again. Believing in him, trusting him as your Savior, you'll have eternal life. Would you want somebody to come with that message, huh? Fulfilling the royal one. Would you come this morning? Father, bless us, help us, be with us today and all year long. And Lord, may this be the motivation behind our giving. Not the only one, but one of them. May we live, and may we love royally, because we've all been afforded the privilege of living in royalty. Help us to love our neighbors and do for them what we'd want them to do for us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.